Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapters 4 and 5. In these two chapters, we have the genealogical records of the tribes of Judah and Simeon in chapter 4, and the genealogical records of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in chapter 5. Now, for each chapter, we'll mention a couple of background notes, one doctrinal point, and one practical application. Let's begin by reading the first verse of chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1. The sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Now from verse 2 to the end of the chapter, we trace a number of Judah's descendants. Let's begin our study of this chapter with a couple of background notes. In the first three chapters of 1 Chronicles, we trace the messianic line from Adam all the way up through Abraham and David to the return of the Jews from their captivity in Babylon. That's as far as we can go in the books of Chronicles, because we believe Ezra was the author of these books, and his time is close to the end of the Old Testament period. The rest of the genealogy of Christ will be picked up in Matthew after the 400 years of the intertestamental period. Here in the first half of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we have further genealogical records of the tribe of Judah, including the record of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, in verse 15. Remember, he was one of the faithful spies at the time of Moses. And we also have the record of Othniel in verse 13. Remember, he was the first judge of Israel. This genealogy of Judah closes in verses 21 through 23 with some more information about Shelah, the youngest son of Judah. His descendants were workers in pottery and linen and ruled over Moab in patriarchal times. In verse 24 through the end of the chapter, we have the genealogy of the tribe of Simeon. The tribe of Simeon did not receive any tribal territory because of Simeon's participation in the massacre of Shechem that we read about in Genesis chapter 34. The descendants of Simeon lived in villages scattered throughout the tribal area of Judah. Notice the emphasis on the cities and villages of Simeon here in verses 31 through 33. Later, we see that during the time of King Hezekiah, some in the tribe of Simeon did conquer some territory for themselves. Let's pick it up in verse 38. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning now at verse 38. These mentioned by name were leaders in their families, and their father's house increased greatly. So they went to the entrance of Gedor, as far as the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found rich, good pasture, and the land was broad, quiet, and peaceful, for some Hamites formerly lived there. These recorded by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And they attacked their tents and the Meunites who were found there and utterly destroyed them as it is to this day. So they dwelt in their place because there was pasture for their flocks there. Now some of them, 500 men of the sons of Simeon, went to Mount Seir, having as their captains Pelatiah, Neariah, Rephaiah, and Uziel, the sons of Ishi. And they defeated the rest of the Amalekites who had escaped. They have dwelt there to this day. Remember, these Amalekites should have been removed by King Saul. We read about that failure back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Our doctrinal point for 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is the following. The Lord answers the prayers of faithful believers in spiritual ministry. The Lord answers the prayers of faithful believers in spiritual ministry. Verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. These have become well-known verses in the Bible in the last few years. I mean, if you have not heard of the prayer of Jabez, you are really out of the evangelical loop. We see in verse 9 that Jabez was an honorable believer, and in faith he called upon God for blessing, and God answered his prayer, as we see in verse 10. Jabez wanted to be happy and enjoy more of the inheritance that God had given his people. And he wanted to be kept from evil and harm and the pain that goes with it. We too can pray the prayer of Jabez in application. God wants us to be happy in the things of the Lord. It's not wrong to ask the Lord to enlarge your ministry and area of Christian service. This is the land that God has given us to claim and possess. And the desire to be kept from evil and harm and the physical and spiritual pain that's involved should certainly be part of our prayer lives. The Lord answers the prayers of faithful believers in spiritual ministry. Our practical application for 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is the following. Don't misapply the prayer of Jabez. Don't misapply the prayer of Jabez. Some Christians have wrongly applied the prayer of Jabez and used it as a proof text for demanding material prosperity from the Lord. After all, Jabez prayed that his border would be enlarged. Therefore, we can pray for bigger houses and bigger bank accounts, right? Wrong. This is bad hermeneutics. The New Testament does not guarantee the Christian health and wealth. But it does guarantee that if you look to the Lord and trust in the Lord and obey the Lord, you will be blessed and your spiritual borders will be enlarged. Greater effectiveness and greater blessing to others and greater insight and appreciation of God's eternal word. So don't be ensnared by the false claims of the so-called prosperity gospel. Don't misapply the prayer of Jabez. Let's move now to 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and read the first two verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Yet Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came a ruler, although the birthright was Joseph's. Let's consider a few background notes for 1 Chronicles chapter 5. As a result of Reuben's sin of incest, which you can read about in Genesis chapter 35, Reuben lost his birthright as the firstborn, as we see here in verse 1. The double portion of the land went to Joseph, and thus to the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And the portion of the leadership went to Judah. Now from verse 3 through verse 8, we have a number of the descendants of Judah listed. Let's pick it up in verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Eastward they settled as far as the entrance of the wilderness, this side of the river Euphrates, because their cattle had multiplied in the land of Gilead. Now in the days of Saul, they made war with the Hagrites, who fell by their hand, and they dwelt in their tents throughout the entire area east of Gilead. Remember, the tribe of Reuben settled on the east side of the Jordan River, but south of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So we see quite an expansion of the tribe of Reuben at the time of King Saul. From verse 11 through verse 22, we have the genealogical record of the tribe of Gad. Verse 11, and the children of Gad dwelt next to them in the land of Bashan as far as Salca. Let's skip down now to verse 16. And the Gadites dwelt in Gilead, in Bashan and its villages, and in all the common lands of Sharon within their borders. All these were registered by genealogies in the days of Jotham, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. The sons of Reuben, the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, had 44,760 valiant men, men able to bear shield and sword, to shoot with a bow, and skillful in war, who went to war. They made war with the Hagrites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab. And they were helped against them, and the Hagrites were delivered into their hand, and all who were with them, for they cried out to God in the battle. He heeded their prayer because they put their trust in him. Then they took away their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 of their sheep, and 2,000 of their donkeys, also 100,000 of their men. For many fell dead because the war was God's, and they dwelt in their place until the captivity. Our doctrinal point for 1 Chronicles chapter 5 is as follows. The Lord answers the prayers of faithful believers in spiritual warfare. The Lord answers the prayers of faithful believers in spiritual warfare. The Hagarites were a people also living on the east side of the Jordan River and may have been descendants of Hagar. We learn from Psalm 83 that the Hagarites joined the coalition of enemy forces on the east side of the Jordan River against God's people. But the 2.5 tribes trusted in the Lord and prayed, and God answered and fought for Israel, and a great victory was won. Certainly, we have a picture of spiritual warfare here. As the 2.5 tribes armed themselves for war in verse 18, so we should put on the full armor of God, as we know from Ephesians chapter 6. As the 2.5 tribes trusted in the Lord and prayed, so we must trust in the Lord and pray for his deliverance. As God gave great victory to the 2.5 tribes, so God will give his people today great victory in spiritual warfare. The Lord answers the prayers of faithful believers in spiritual warfare. Now, what about practical application from this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 5? Remember the lessons of the 2.5 tribes. Remember the lessons of the 2.5 tribes. In verse 23 to the end of the chapter, we have the genealogical record of the half-tribe of Manasseh that settled on the east side of the Jordan River with the tribes of Reuben and Gad. We saw in verses 18 through 22 that the Lord helped them in battle because they were trusting the Lord. But now comes the sad news in verses 25 and 26. Let's read those verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. And they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers, and played the harlot after the gods of the peoples of the land, whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Hala, Habor, Hara, and the river of Gozan to this day. Remember, it was the 2.5 tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh back in Numbers chapter 32 that would not follow God's perfect will for them and cross the Jordan River with the rest of the 12 tribes at the time of the conquest. They followed God's permissive will and not God's perfect will and settled on the east side of the Jordan River. Now notice from verse 26, that these 2.5 tribes were the most exposed and vulnerable to the attacks from the Assyrians. That's one lesson. If we don't obey the Lord completely, we are vulnerable to attack from the enemy. We also see in verse 25 that they turned from trust in the Lord to spiritual adultery of idolatry, and the Lord let them learn the lesson of you reap what you sow. Remember the lessons of the 2.5 tribes.